Conservative? You bet. Controversial? Right again. It's time to squabble on the Jim Benson Show.
Right in front of our very eyes, we are seeing the globalist deep state work. Black Lives Matter and Antifa. What a terrible, terrible blight upon all people. Antifa, which they claim means anti-fascist, is absurd, ludicrous, and totally opposite of what they claim to be. They are not anti-fascist. They are the fascists. Black Lives Matter, it's a ruse, R-U-S-E. If Black Lives Matter, then why don't we do something about what is happening, blacks on black, killing blacks, in places like Chicago, Detroit, Baltimore, Washington, D.C. It's an endless list that won't be missed. So the bottom line here is that it's about divide, confusion, chaos, and conquer. What we're watching here is insanity, and particularly the deep state Democrats and their seditious, despicable, lying media are fanning the flames. I urge all of my brothers and sisters, don't go for the ghosts, okay? Don't be duped, hoodwinked, bamboozled, okay? Understand that we are in this struggle as patriots, as U.S. citizens, together. What we have on our side is we have each other. Each other, and that's extremely powerful. And that's something that the media, the deep state Democrats, and the Rhino Republicans, for that matter, they don't want you to know that. They want you to think that you're alone, you're by yourself. You're not alone, you're not by yourself. And there are a lot of people, millions, millions, who are thinking just like you. This is our republic. This is all about fun and games and hurting people and destroying, not building, not serving the people, body and soul, but the exact opposite. So I plead with, implore with, to all my brothers and sisters of all colors, get a grip on reality. Stop this madness. Stop this insanity. And those who won't stop it need to be stopped.
That was Larry Pinkney of BlackActivistWG.org. He was a co-founder of what he emphasizes was the original Black Panthers, not those who came after, and is a well-known political activist, speaker, and author. These statements of his were on one of the big tech internet formats, and it was removed when I tried to find it, but I did find that it was saved and presented on band.video from Infowars.com. We'll hear more from Larry Pinkney later in the show, but I wanted to lead off with his comments here to emphasize a point. The mainstream media, referred to quite correctly by commentator Dr. Steve Turley as the mainstream Marxist media, has done little else but cheer on and applaud the protesters, rioters, and looters of Antifa and Black Lives Matter in recent weeks as they have sought to instigate an insurrection to destroy our country as we have known it, and along with it, Western civilization. You may be aware of those of their leaders recently declaring, one of their leaders recently declaring that if America didn't give BLM what it is demanding, including special preferential treatment for blacks, including reparations for slavery and free college and so forth, then BLM would burn down the system and replace it. He then added he might be speaking figuratively or he might be speaking literally. President Trump responded by stating that such words constitute treason, insurrection, sedition. Many of you may have found all this highly disturbing and frustrating and may have a profound feeling of isolation because that's what the left wants you to feel. They want you to believe that the whole nation is indeed, and indeed the whole world, wants an end to an alleged racist and unjust America. But don't fall for this ruse. As Larry Pinkney and others you will hear from today are saying, you are not alone. Stay with us to learn the truth about what's really happening, because all this unrest across the country is well organized, funded, and planned. And the tragic death, what looks like murder to me, of George Floyd, an American of African descent at the hands of a white police officer, Derek Chauvin, in Minneapolis a month ago, was just the incident needed for the left to unleash its assault on Western civilization. So hello, and welcome to another edition of the Jim Benson Show, conservative talk radio covering the issues that concern you here on the BBS Radio Network. If you'd like to call into the show, the phone number is 888-627-6008. Again, that's 888-627-6008. Many of you may be asking, how did this situation today come about? Where we are daily seeing lawless mobs of young people, nearly half of them Caucasians, according to a study done by the Pew Research Center, angrily protesting supposed great injustice nationwide, rioting, looting, defacing buildings and statues, and demanding that we literally revise and erase our history and radically revamp our civilization into one modeled after Marxism-Leninism and used to promote such a system for the entire world. We're going to explore the origins of our current situation today and discuss what we can do to save our country and way of life. Let's begin by reviewing an article from over a year ago, May 1, 2019, on a website called the Eagle Forum. That's eagleforum.org. The article was titled, Globalism is Communism by Another Name. Now, there's an editor's note at the start of it, and it says, on this May 1, 2019, most Americans are likely unaware of how May Day became a celebration in the United States. Instead of focusing on springtime and Maypole dances, May Day began as International Workers' Day in 1886, with more than 300,000 Americans walking off their jobs to protest long work days and capitalism in general. The workers embraced anarchists, and for more than a century, May 1 was one of the most important days on the calendar for communists and other socialists. In the May 1, 1923 edition of Weekly Worker, C.E. Ruthenberg wrote, quote, May Day, the day which inspires fear in the hearts of the capitalists and hope in the workers. The workers of the world over will find the communist movement this year stronger in the U.S. than at any time in its history. The road is clear for greater achievements, and in the United States as elsewhere in the world, the future belongs to communism, close quote. The editor's note continues, as Dr. Ileana Johnson-Pugh, or Pugh, P-A-U-G-H, describes below, that future seems to be disturbingly close. Now, the article says, subtitled, Communism Making Comeback as Globalism. And despite, Dr. Ileana Johnson-Pugh, a Romanian conservative, freelance writer, author, radio commentator, and speaker. Her books, Echoes of Communism, Liberty on Life Support, UN Agenda 21, Environmental Piracy, and Communism 2.0, 25 years later, are available at Amazon in paperback and on Kindle. Her frequent commentaries include thoughts on American exceptionalism, the economy, immigration, and education. Visit her website at ileanajohnson.com. That's ileanajohnson.com. Now, her article begins, quote, it's a brave new world, one in which radicals are elected to high office in a system more corrupt and ignorant than ever imagined possible. The voters believe in the shiny illusions of socialism slash communism. I'm sorry, in the shiny illusions of socialist slash communist hell and are racing to implementation. Americans are not quite sure when the surge to communism finally planted its roots in the population at large and things begin to change. Some argue it was the 1950s, others the 1960s. Over time, the corrupt mainstream media and the progressive-controlled education system brought us slowly but surely to today, when good people are overwhelmed by manufactured news and personal attacks meant to marginalize anyone who disagrees with the socialist agenda, while the entire system of liberty and justice for all is collapsing. The dangerous cult of personality, which mesmerized an entire nation into submission to a magical black president, now includes millennials like Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, D. New York, who, despite her international relations degree, is, by her own admission, totally ignorant of world politics. and two Muslim women who took their oath on a book that contradicts everything our Constitution stands for and are flinging vulgarities and anti-Israel, anti-American insults to the American public. The same MSM, that is mainstream media, that gives them ample airtime to insult anyone who disagrees with them, was mostly silent on three new congressmen, real American heroes and Purple Heart recipients, who were sworn in, and they quote, the five eyes, five arms, four legs, all American, close quote, as Representative Mast said. Jim Baird, R. Indiana, lost his left arm in Vietnam. Brian Mast, R. Florida, lost both legs in Afghanistan. Dan Crenshaw, R. Texas, lost his eye in Afghanistan. Nobody saw them on the evening news, but airtime was extended ad nauseum to the new breed of women politicians who offends us with overt anti-Americanism. Representative Ocasio-Cortez's strong and strange socialist charisma appears to a large segment of the American population, liberals and Democrats alike, who have made a cult hero out of her, out of a former bartender. Maduro of Venezuela was a taxi driver before he became president. He appealed to low-information voters who have now managed to self-destruct under the leadership, or lack thereof, of a socialist, long on rhetoric and short on knowledge of how to successfully lead a country rich in petroleum, a formerly prosperous nation, now a basket case of poverty, rationing, and hunger. He drove it into the ground, turning it into the hellhole of socialism that it is today. The Cuban model, the Castro brothers' communist dictatorship, ended in disaster in Venezuela, just as it did everywhere else socialism, communism has been tried. Should she be ignored in the hope that she goes away back to the obscurity she came from? Liberals are already talking of making her president. People with real skill, intellect, sound judgment, and logical arguments must speak out with intelligence and force. But when they do, would anybody listen? And the article continues, excuse me, I am not at all surprised that young and old Americans alike are suddenly infatuated with the empty promises of socialism and communism and do not listen to reason. Decades of socialist indoctrination in public schools and progressive MSM, mainstream media again, are finally paying off for Democrats and their globalist fellow travelers. In the country of my birth, where millions have suffered and died under the boot of socialism and of Ceausescu's Communist Party dictatorship, there does not appear to exist a significant and strong conservative wing in politics, in parliament, and politics in parliament swing back and forth between socialists and communists. How is that possible when their parents and extended families lived in such hell of fear and brutal oppression for decades? Young Romanians view any foreigners, no matter how poor in their own countries, how far left-leaning they are, as rich capitalists who abuse and steal from the poor. Their parents have been told for decades under communism that capitalists exploit the working class and are out to steal their rights to utopian communism, thus leaving them hungry, cold, and poor in perpetuity. It is extraordinarily bizarre to see young generations with their smartphones, cars, plenty of food, and other electronic gadgets produced by capitalism, indoctrinated by schools, and the media into believing that free market capitalism poses a fundamental threat to their avowed neo-communism. A young American friend who currently lives with his wife in Romania is considering moving his family to America. As Darius explained, quote, she's fixated on the idea of living in an America that probably hasn't existed since the 1990s, at the least, close quote. He is afraid to discuss any conservative ideas with the young Romanians who openly and proudly express their communist affiliation, rejecting all other ideas that contradict and diverge from their proletarian ideology. It is no surprise that such young people were indoctrinated by non-governmental organizations, NGOs, who made their way into the Iron Curtain as soon as it fell in 1990. George Soros boasted in an interview that he was the first to be given access into Romania after Christmas 1989, when Ceausescu was executed for communist crimes against his own people. Soros allegedly met with the Minister of Education to discuss the new curricula post-Ceausescu's regime. Scores of young Romanians studied abroad with financial help from his foundations, assuring their allegiance to his new world globalism. I met several such students in 1991 who had been brought to an all-black Southern U.S. college to study master's degrees in management. When the two-year university indoctrination ended, they went back to work in the recently fashioned government comprised of former communist upper echelon apparatchiks who had rebranded themselves into the New World Globalists. The sudden infatuation of the West with socialism-communism has been developing over decades as the communists had planned to go underground and rebrand themselves into the global communists of today. Championed by the United Nations and civil society, meaning intellectuals, academics, and other lapdogs of liberalism who advertise and promote everything the UN publishes. Vladimir Pukhovsky explained these phenomena in the upcoming English version of his book, Judgment in Moscow. He had found documents in Russia to prove that the reason the horrific crimes of the former Soviet Union and its satellites were not published like the Nazi crimes were 50 years before was the, quote, Kremlin's links to the influence over Western political parties, governments, media, and prominent individuals, as revealed in the documents. It was these powerful links, he writes, that perverted any push to prosecute the extreme human rights abuses that took place over the decades of Soviet rule. As a result, the Communist Party and KGB elite were left to regroup and reestablish their power with new names and new methods, perhaps, but the same goal. New names and new methods, perhaps, but the same goal, to undermine Western democracy, close quote. And the author continues, it is with sadness, agony, and dread that I see daily evidence of Western democracies turning back to the future. Some people never learn from history and must repeat it no matter how disastrous. And that's the end of the article. As the author points out, the lead up to today's globalist communist minions, the proverbial useful idiots, engaging in rioting and destruction of property and historical statues, their demands to defund law enforcement, eradicate history, give special preferential treatment to blacks with free college, lifetime reparations to ostensibly make up for the depredations of centuries of slavery, which ended in our country more than 150 years ago, and now the eradication of all depictions of Jesus due to them being white supremacists, close quote, can be traced to decades of dumbing down and inculcating our youth with the false values of Marxism, today presented glowingly as globalism. Let's listen to a YouTube video from an interview in 1984 with Soviet KGB officer and propagandist, defector Yuri Bezmenov. In this interview, Bezmenov describes the four stages of ideological and political subversion that then international communism was using to subvert and eventually take over the United States with demands of social justice. I realize some of what is being stated may not be clear due to Bezmenov's accent and the sound quality of the interview, but if you listen carefully, you'll get the gist of what he is saying. Play sound by two, please.
Well, you spoke several times before about ideological subversion. That is a phrase that I'm afraid some Americans don't fully understand. When the Soviets use the phrase ideological subversion, what do they mean by it?
Ideological subversion is the process which is legitimate, overt, and open. You can see it with your own eyes. All you have to do, all American mass media has to do, is to unplug their bananas from their ears, open up their eyes, and they can see it. There is no mystery. There is nothing to do with espionage. I know that espionage intelligence gathering looks more romantic. It sells more deodorants through the advertising, probably. That's why your Hollywood producers are so crazy about James Bond type of thrillers. But in reality, the main emphasis of the KGB is not in the area of intelligence at all. According to my opinion and opinion of many defectors of my caliber, only about 15% of time, money, and manpower is spent on espionage as such. The other 85% is a slow process which we call either ideological subversion or active measures, активные мероприятия in the language of the KGB, or psychological warfare. What it basically means is to change the perception of reality of every American to such an extent that despite of the abundance of information, no one is able to come to sensible conclusions in the interests of defending themselves, their families, their community, and their country. It's a great brainwashing process, which goes very slow, and it's divided in four basic stages. The first one being demoralization. It takes from 15 to 20 years to demoralize a nation. Why that many years? Because this is the minimum number of years which requires to educate one generation of students in the country of your enemy, exposed to the ideology of the enemy. In other words, Marxism-Leninism ideology is being pumped into the soft heads of at least three generations of American students without being challenged or counterbalanced by the basic values of Americanism, American patriotism. The result you can see, most of the people who graduated in the 60s, dropouts or half-baked intellectuals, are now occupying the positions of power in the government, civil service, business, mass media, educational system. You are stuck with them. You cannot get rid of them. They are contaminated. They are programmed to think and react to certain stimuli in a certain pattern. You cannot change their mind, even if you expose them to authentic information, even if you prove that white is white and black is black, you still cannot change the basic perception and the logic of behavior. In other words, these people, the process of demoralization is complete and irreversible. To get rid society of these people, you need another 20 or 15 years to educate a new generation of patriotically minded and common sense people who would be acting in favor and in the interests of the United States society.
And yet these people who've been programmed and, as you say, in place and yes. who are favorable to an opening with the Soviet concept, mm-hmm. these are the very people who would be marked for extermination in this country?
Most of them, yes. Mm-hmm. Simply because the psychological shock when they will see in future what the beautiful society of equality and social justice means in practice, obviously they will revolt. They will be very unhappy, frustrated people. And the Marxist-Leninist regime does not tolerate these people. They will join the links of dissenters, mm-hmm. dissidents.
Yes.
Unlike in present United States, there will be no place for dissent in future Marxist-Leninist America. Here you can get popular like Daniel Ellsberg and filthy rich like Jane Fonda for being dissident, for criticizing your Pentagon. In future, these people will be simply squashed like cockroaches. Nobody is going to pay them nothing for their beautiful, noble ideas of equality. This they don't understand, and it will be the greatest shock for them, of course. The demoralization process in the United States is basically completed already. For the last 25 years, actually it's overfulfilled, because demoralization now reaches such areas where previously not even Comrade Andropov and all his experts would even dream of such a tremendous success. Most of it is done by Americans to Americans, thanks to lack of moral standards. As I mentioned before, exposure to true information does not matter anymore. A person who was demoralized is unable to assess true information. The facts tell nothing to him. Even if I shower him with information, with authentic proof, with documents, with pictures, even if I take him by force to the Soviet Union and show him concentration camp, he will refuse to believe it until he is going to receive a kick in his fat bottom. When a military boot crashes his balls, then he will understand, but not before that. That's the tragic of the situation of demoralization. So basically America is stuck with demoralization, and unless, even if you start right now, here, this minute, you start educating new generation of Americans, it will still take you 15 to 20 years to turn the tide of ideological perception of reality back to normalcy and patriotism. The next stage is destabilization. This time, subverter does not care about your ideas and the patterns of your consumption. Whether you eat junk food and get fat and flabby doesn't matter anymore. This time, and it takes only from 2 to 5 years to destabilize a nation, it's what matters is essentials: economy, foreign relations, defense systems. And you can see it quite clearly that in some areas, in such sensitive areas as defense and economy, the influence of Marxist-Leninist ideas in the United States is absolutely fantastic. I could never believe it 14 years ago when I landed in this part of the world that the process will go that fast. The next stage, of course, is crisis. It may take only up to 6 weeks to bring a country to the verge of crisis. You can see it in Central America now. And after crisis, with a violent change of power, structure, and economy, you have so-called the period of normalization. It may last indefinitely. Normalization is a cynical expression borrowed from Soviet propaganda. When the Soviet tanks moved into Czechoslovakia in 68, Comrade Brezhnev said, "Now the situation in brotherly Czechoslovakia is normalized." This is what will happen in the United States if you allow all these schmucks to bring the country to crisis, to promise people all kind of goodies and the paradise on earth, to destabilize your economy, to eliminate the principle of free market competition, and to put a big brother government in Washington, D.C., with benevolent dictators like Walter Mondale, who will promise lots of things, never mind whether the promises are fulfillable or not. He will go to Moscow to kiss the bottoms of new generation of Soviet assassins, never mind. He will create false illusions that the situation is under control. Situation is not under control. Situation is disgustingly out of control. Most of the American politicians, media, and educational system trains another generation of people who think they are living at a peacetime. False. The United States is in a state of war, undeclared total war against the basic principles and the foundations of this system.
And this interview was back in 1984. There's some irony there because of the famous book about the novel about the totalitarian socialist state in Britain called titled 1984. But it was also some 35 years ago. And yet what he's saying here to me is very much right on for today. I don't know if you noticed, but at one point, Bezmenov is commenting that celebrities like Jane Fonda and others leading the charge for communism in America, once they saw how truly horrible and terrifying real communism is and started speaking out against it, would be quickly eliminated by the real masters of the situation, who would then have no further use for them. He also talks about the fact that we were stuck with the radicals of the 1960s, but then and now occupying positions of power in American government, corporations, and societal institutions like nonprofits. These people, their children, and other brainwashed followers are today applauding the protesters and rioters, knowing full well that what is really being sought is the utter destruction of America and the rest of Western civilization and its replacement with Marxist globalism. Don't forget that the founders of BLM have declared that they are, quote, trained Marxists, unquote. And, of course, you know that Antifa is filled with communists and is, by its very nature, Marxist-communist. If you recall my comments about the characteristics of many leftists, their behavior makes a lot more sense. As I said, I have found that there are three main characteristics of many leftists that define their attitudes and behaviors. One is self-righteous hate, which is usually disguised as righteous indignation at supposed great injustice. All you have to do is watch the protesters and rioters to see that there is no debating with these people. In their minds, they are correct, and you are wrong to defy them, and they will not argue, and you will not be allowed to argue with them. They will shout you down. Another characteristic is fraud, that is deception. Remember that under socialism, the end justifies the means. So any trick, any lie, any deception is perfectly acceptable to obtain utopia. This is why you see so much distortion of truth and facts in the mainstream media, which has a distinctive Marxist agenda they want you to buy into. Another characteristic of leftists is outrageous hypocrisy. And again, just look at all the multimillionaire talking heads in the mainstream media advocating more and more socialism. Same can be said of all the fabulously wealthy celebrities doing the same. And let's not forget about all those highly paid government and left-wing social organization bureaucrats making a very comfortable living, advocating more and more socialism. And this despite what the inevitable result of a redistribution of wealth would mean for them. Do they really believe they'll somehow miraculously be exempt from their wealth being taken from them? Well, if they are part of the leadership of this new world order they advocate, perhaps they will, but not for most of them, I don't think. I think, rather. And while we're on the subject of hypocrisy, there's nothing to stop all these fabulously rich leftists, corporations, and foundations from voluntarily paying reparations to blacks. Why doesn't Robert De Niro, net worth some $200 million, give most or all of it to pay for reparations? Gloria Steinem, icon of the Marxist spin-off movement Feminism, net worth $3 million? All the multimillionaire MSN news talking heads? What about these huge multinational corporations like AT&T and Nike, the Ford Foundation, George Soros? Think of all the billions and billions that could be used to pay blacks reparations for slavery if all these incredibly wealthy leftists and corporate entities were not the outrageous hypocrites they are. But no, the government has to do this, not them. They're going to keep their wealth, I guess, at least for now, huh? On the last show, we observed that Black Lives Matter was, with great encouragement and a ton of cash, I'm sure, founded by black women. One of them, Patrice Cullors, is currently featured on a Trump campaign video ad, admitting that, quote, we are trained Marxists, unquote. We also noted that left-wing billionaire George Soros has given the group $33 million through a foundation network, through his foundation network, and the Ford Foundation and another group set up a fundraising network to get BLM some $100 million. Is it any surprise that BLM demonstrations and protests are occurring all over the country? And yeah, you can't stop these out of concerns about spreading coronavirus. Why, this is for social justice. How many foolish, dumbed-down Americans believe this is all some kind of spontaneous grassroots uprising? BLM is clearly promoting the agenda of George Soros, which includes advocacy of open borders madness, in my opinion, in order to flood the country with poor, uneducated people from the third world and take over, not out of any sense of humanity. They also want to defund law enforcement, which I and others see as a plot to destroy local control of law enforcement and nationalize it so it can be controlled and do the bidding of the left when it takes over the country. Let's hear a little bit more about the protesters from Tucker Carlson on his show June 24. Play soundbite 3, please.
Good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson Tonight. We've spent an awful lot of time over the past few weeks trying to figure out and then explain what's happening to our country. At times it's been depressing, but it seems important. At this point, it's pretty clear that nothing is what we're told it is. These are not protests. This is not about George Floyd. It's not about systemic racism, whatever that is. America is not a racist country. You are not a bad person for living here. These are definitely not protesters. They're not even rioters. They're the armed militia of the Democratic Party. They're working to overthrow our system of government. They're trying to put themselves in power. That's all obvious now. It's genuinely sinister. We're worried about it. We've said that. We mean it. But in the process of saying that, we may have missed something else that is also true, as well as highly amusing. These people are idiots. For real. The angry children you watch set fire to Wendy's and topple statues and scream at you on television day after day are truly and utterly stupid. There's probably never been a dumber group gathered in one place in all of American history. They're mouth breathers. They know nothing. They couldn't tell you who George Washington was. They don't know when the Civil War was fought, probably not even to the century. They say they oppose racism, and then they rip down monuments to abolitionists. They don't see the contradiction in that because they have no idea who the abolitionists were. They think it's a band from the 80s. A lot of the very stupidest people, by the way, are, quote, well-educated. They have all the worthless credentials we're told we should want for our children. They went to Duke. They work at some nonprofit. They hold a good-paying job in digital marketing at Nike. Yeah. They're supposedly impressive, but they're not impressive at all. They're incredibly dumb. They fall for any lie, no matter how preposterous. The more preposterous, the more likely they are to fall for it.
As he's saying this, I'm reminded of the famous statement, I believe it was attributed to Lenin, but he may never have actually said it, but they talk about the useful idiots doing the bidding of the left. I also am ironically reminded of his famous statement. There are different interpretations of it, but the one I like the best is that is Lenin stating, when it comes time to hang the capitalists, they'll be eager to sell us the rope. And here we see all these corporations bowing down, pledging money to Black Lives Matter, and as though they think they're going to buy them off. Maybe they will for a while. But the inevitable end result of what they are asking and demanding for, I should say demanding, will be the end of these corporations, at least as far as their profits go. Now let's listen to Black conservative Samantha Mason talk about the leftist narrative that the Democratic Party cares about blacks. Her talk was featured on Band.video under the heading Black Lives Matter, : only when they need your vote. Play soundbite 4, please.
Okay, I'm going to make a really quick video about George Floyd's memorial that happened yesterday. Before I get into what I'm about to say, I first want to say this does not mean that I don't think George Floyd deserved a memorial or a funeral. I think he did. He was murdered. So I want us to take that and put it to the side just for now. I also want us to take our anger, our frustration, our sadness, and I want us to put it to the side just for now. And for the few minutes this video may be, I want us to listen and to think as logically as we can. Because the only way we're going to see what's happening is if we think logically. 2 weeks ago, you were unable to have a funeral. If your mom, if your dad, if your grandma died, they couldn't have a funeral. And if you did try to have a funeral, you could have been arrested. You fast forward 2 weeks later, you turn on the television and there's a giant funeral, a giant memorial for George Floyd. Celebrities and politicians all there. The same people for the past couple months who were telling you if you were to go into a group of people, you could have died because of COVID-19. And here they sit at this giant funeral. A funeral in which became political. Al Sharpton was up there saying, we're going to take the White House. George Floyd's funeral became political. 2 to 3 days after that man was murdered, they told you to go vote. A week after that man was murdered, first day of primaries. And what did you do? You went out and voted. Blue, 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 just like the script told you to. Hashtag vote, 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 all over Instagram, all over Twitter. Why? Have you asked yourself why? What is voting gonna do? We had a black president and this still happened. You think voting is gonna solve racism? You're being used. You think they broadcasted George Floyd's funeral all to America because they wanted to show what a great person George Floyd was? Or do you think they broadcasted George Floyd's funeral because they wanted you to watch? So you would get angry, you would get sad, you would get mad, you would get frustrated, and you would go vote. And you're falling for it because you're literally saying, everybody go vote. And you're not seeing the bigger picture. This is exactly what they want you to do. The Democrats were about to lose the black vote. And a party with no black vote is no Democrat party at all. And so you're gonna tell me you don't think they'll do whatever they want to, whatever they can to make sure they secure that black vote? Even if that means using you, using me, using George Floyd. You're gonna sit here and tell me, hashtag Black Lives Matter. No, they care about black people, do they? Or do Black Lives Matter only when they need your vote? Ask yourself that question.
And here's commentary, some statements from commentator Dr. Steve Turley on his YouTube channel, June 23, talking about the demand by BLM leader Sean King that all images of Jesus must now be taken down and removed as they are allegedly representing white supremacy. Please play soundbite 5.
Sean King, who's a leader of the Black Lives Matter movement, a radical Bernie Sanders supporter and a radical leftist who's incapable of thinking outside of a highly tribalistic paradigm. He's turned heads of late in his latest advocacy for tearing down statues that supposedly represent white supremacy. The culprit now happens to be, if you can believe it, Christianity, particularly Christian statues and icons and artwork that depicts a so-called white Jesus. Here's what King told his million-plus Twitter followers. Yes, I think the statues of the white European they claim is Jesus should also come down. They're a form of white supremacy, always have been. In the Bible, when the family of Jesus wanted to hide and blend in, guess where they went? Egypt, not Denmark. Tear them down. In a follow-up tweet, he wrote, yes, all murals and stained glass windows of white Jesus and his European mother and their white friends should also come down. They're a gross form of white supremacy created as tools of oppression, racist propaganda. They should all come down. Now, it appears that Sean King has overlooked the fact that Egypt at the time that he was referring to was every bit a part of the Roman Empire, which is the foundation of the Western civilization that he despises. Egypt was every bit a part of that Roman foundation of Western civilization as Denmark and Scandinavia would eventually be. So I'm not really quite sure what his point there was. In fact, if you look at the Christian iconography that came out from Coptic Egypt in the 2nd and 3rd centuries, Jesus is depicted as rather white, for lack of a better term. So perhaps Sean should stick to what he knows best, which at this point appears to be inciting tribalist animosity. Now, keep in mind, as Tucker Carlson has been pointing out on his show of late, especially last night, Sean King is not just some, you know, Twitter rube saying bizarre things. This is one of the major leaders of Black Lives Matter, which is currently enjoying considerable success at tearing down emblems of our history throughout our nation. Now he wants to tear down churches that exemplify these supposed monuments to white supremacism. And this tweet proves, it absolutely proves, that this has nothing to do with Confederate statues. Right, the tearing down of Confederate statues, that itself had nothing to do with the Confederacy. Because, of course, now BLM wants to tear down statues of American presidents like Thomas Jefferson, Abraham Lincoln, and Teddy Roosevelt. So they started with Confederate statues, and when they won on that one, they went on to the stage and next stage and started just tearing down statues of those presidents and leaders who belonged to the Union. What do they have in store for Mount Rushmore, you might think? They're no longer satisfied with merely destroying our political history. Now they want to destroy our religious history. Black Lives Matter now is coming for your church. Now, this is all proof you need to know that Black Lives Matter is not ultimately about challenging systemic racism and supposed white supremacy. Black Lives Matter has indeed declared war on Western civilization itself. Having been denigrated by our cultural Marxist universities over the last few decades, Western civilization is certainly ripe for the takedown. Cultural Marxists have been allowed to run rampant in our universities since the 1960s, and as a result, we've raised a whole generation of people who believe that to be considered educated means that you have to hate Western civilization and denounce it publicly as incurably racist and bigoted and sexist and homophobic and indeed irredeemable. This is what cultural Marxists have wanted to achieve from the very beginning. Don't take my word for it. They've always wanted the destruction of Western civilization and most particularly its Christian foundations. This is precisely what the cultural Marxist George Lukács wrote decades ago as the ultimate goal of cultural Marxism. Lukács wrote, quote, "I saw the revolutionary destruction of society as the one and only solution to the cultural contradictions of the epoch, and such a worldwide overturning of values cannot take place without the annihilation of the old values and the creation of new ones by the revolutionaries," close quote. This is not about race. It's not about racism or systemic racism. This is not even about white supremacism. This is ultimately about the destruction of Western civilization, Western Christian civilization, and its replacement with cultural Marxism.
Who want to save our country and prevent it being converted into a Marxist-Leninist hellhole, what should we do? Let's listen to a recent edition of the Alex Jones Show and hear again from Larry Pinkney with more ideas about this. Play soundbite six, please.
And if so-called Black Lives Matter really cared, which they do not, but if they really cared, then send them to Chicago. Send them to Detroit. Send them to Baltimore, Philadelphia, okay? These major cities, send them there and tell them you serve the people, body and soul. Serve them, you pieces. Serve them, okay? Not all this crap. I'm sick and tired of seeing this insidious nonsense about Black Lives Matter. Indeed, all lives matter. How can Black lives matter if all lives don't matter, right? I mean, that's just common sense. Whatever happened to common sense, I'll tell you what happened to common sense. It's not common anymore thanks to decades of brainwashing of these people who are now out in the streets.
The dream of the Renaissance of humanity coming together and standing for justice, what Martin Luther King said, judging people not about what color they are or what sex they are, but what they build, what they stand for, what their integrity is. We all know that. I don't care what color you are. You're cooking good food, I'm going to your restaurant. I don't care what color you are. You singing beautiful music or playing beautiful music, I love you. I don't care what color you are. You're a beautiful person, I love you. But instead, they teach us it's not about who we are. It's about what color we are, which is the same thing the Nazis taught. You see the total abandonment by the left and by the liberals, supposedly, of the promise of what America was shooting for. Not that we ever reached it. Why has it been abandoned? Because the global corporations run slave camps in China and Africa and Latin America. And they know our weak spot is the fact we do care. So they show us how we're bad and magnify it and twist it. So they can run away with the whole planet's future. That's my view. But Larry Pinkney's been come on many times in the last 15 years, done an amazing job, author, researcher, one of the founding members of the Black Panther Party, been a political prisoner, dealt with COINTELPRO, but he transcended all that and forgave the system. But he's fighting to I guess, build a new system for everybody. He's written the Saying No to Power autobiography, a 20th century activist and thinker, and, of course, blackactivistwg.org. And I'm not going to go over his whole bio, veteran of the Black Panther Party, former minister of the Interior Republic of New Africa, former political prisoner of only American to have successfully self-authored his civil political rights to the United Nations under the International Covenant of Civil and Political Rights in connection with his political organizing activities in opposition to voter suppression. Pinkney was interviewed again, internationally televised PBS NewsHour. He's been on everything. He's here with us now. Larry, don't pause for me, because you've been on fire with what's happening and what we're witnessing, and now they're pulling down Lincoln statues and anti-slaver statues, and now the left's announcing, we've got the article, they want Jesus Christ statues taken down. We've got a new Jesse Smollett out here with Bubba Wallace in the noose. I mean, what in the hell is going on from your expert perspective?
What's going on is a concerted effort to destroy the republic. Let me be clear about that. They want to destroy the republic. This is not about, and first of all, let me extend my greetings and love and strength to you, Brother Alex, and to InfoWars, and to all patriots of this republic. Now, let me get back to what I was saying. The fact is that the objective, their goal, what their goal is to cause as much chaos, division, and disunity as possible. That's what they thrive on. That is precisely what they grow and thrive on. And we, black, white, brown, red, yellow, we citizens of this republic must understand that. Do not be hoodwinked or bamboozled. All right? It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out what is going on. We are united. We will continue to be united, and we are growing. We are growing daily. So I don't mean to go on and on, but to me, from my subjective perspective, that is what is happening.
I totally agree with you. They admit that's what they're doing. How do you think we counter this? Because it's just getting more intense every day, more insane.
Well, the more intense that it becomes, actually, is what we have to do, as some scientists say. We have to take the nastiness and reverse it. And I don't mean we have to be nasty in return. We simply need to push for the boomerang effect. And what do I mean by the boomerang effect? What I mean is that we have the capability, and by we, I mean all patriots, black, white, brown, red, yellow, citizens of this republic. We have got to hold on tightly to one another. We have got to remember that we are not the quote unquote minority. We are, in fact, the majority. All right. But we have got to inform one another, keep putting it out there. We've got to seize the narrative. Seize, take the narrative. It's our narrative. It's our republic. It doesn't belong to these lunatics and thugs and liars. And let me give you the three P's. The three P's. Parasitic political pimps. All right? Every time you think about the three P's, think about the Democrats, the deep state, the globalists, the so-called mainstream media. Okay? Klantifa, yes, Klantifa, because they use the tactics of the Klan and the BLM. We can talk about that later, the BLM. I have another name for them. But we have got to seize the narrative and keep it. Turn that narrative on them. Show who the real racists and fascists are. They're not just racists. They're out and out blatant fascists. And we have to understand that. And we must take heart, hold on to each other tightly, inform each other, encourage each other, and intensify, intensify, intensify.
I agree with what Pinky says. It's terrible and sad that the Democratic Party now fosters the ideals of Antifa and Black Lives Matter, and that many in the party hold similar views of America and Western civilization. And all this while they have hugely benefited from and lead comfortable existences thanks to capitalism and the freedoms they take for granted that were handed to them by our system of government and way of life. This, of course, is not to say that Western civilization has been perfect or that more cannot be done to make life better for more people living in America and across the globe. But this mindless hatred, this desire to utterly destroy our social, political, and religious institutions and replace them with a totalitarian socialist system that will undoubtedly, based on historical fact, consume and destroy many of its advocates, is beyond reason. Yet that is the essence of communism globalism. It is not based on reason and human nature. Instead, it seeks to the subjugation of reason and human nature, which is deemed necessary to achieve utopia, a concept that has never been achieved anywhere. The most important thing we could do we can all do this year is vote. Vote for those candidates who offer reason and sanity and stability, who promote economic opportunity and public safety, well-being, and trust. Speak out when you can, and it's worth it to do so, so that others may see the light politically, economically, philosophically. And if possible, help such candidates get elected by contributing their campaigns in whatever ways you can. There's no doubt in my mind that this year's election will be the most important of our lives. That's it for another show. As always, we hope you found what was presented of value. We'll be back 2 weeks from now. Till then, take care and remember, you are not alone.